Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. With your host, David Von Strong. Here's David.
Oh.
No, you're on the other one.
I'm in the middle.
Take that.
I'm taking this one.
Hello! Charlottesville!
Clinton's relegated me to the other mic, being that I'm under complete sickness. So that's why we're changing it up. A little bit of a change of flow. Hello!
Don't share mics, kids.
Don't share mics, kids. Friends who are friends, don't share mics when people mind strip through. But that's neither here nor there. This is Homegrown, your show about local art here in the Charlottesville area, Central Virginia area, covering all these bases. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Wrecker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Slow man with ugly feet trying to get through the darkness. Complete darkness, as we've seen this past week. Complete darkness. So I'm going to try to add some levity, put some art into your life, make you feel happy. But I do need to address something that we at Homegrown experienced recently. So we got not so much a complaint or a grievance, but like an inquiry about how we do the show. A past artist that we had, Clinton, you brought this to my attention, wasn't so much irate, but just was discouraged about the format of our show. They said that they, as a guest, did not feel that they were taken seriously, that we were unprofessionals to a certain extent, that we were ill-informed of the topics and the piece of art that they were coming to publicize. And look, first of all, I want to hold everybody's concerns about their art. We understand we are a show about art. Art is very important to me, to Clinton. This is why we chose the format of the show. We wanted to put Central Virginians in a specific light, bring these certain aspects to Charlottesville, predominantly people of color and artists of color that are otherwise marginalized or not as seen in the community as have you straight white guys who paint and do otherwise. That's neither here nor there. But I also want to inform people of the format of the show. I always like to, and Clinton knows this, I always like to call the show the anti-NPR. I don't want to be, with a soft tone, explaining carefully and subtly the artist of today. How are you today, sir?
Don't treat me too.
See how boring that is? We don't want to do a show like, I don't want to do a show like that. I want to do a show that exudes energy. I want to do a show that's passionate about art because I'm passionate about art. And I'm passionate about the artists that come onto my show. We have a different, loose, format than other shows. We try to do stuff a little bit differently. The radio shows that do stuff differently, are noticed differently. They might be noticed as better or worse, but damn it, you're going to feel something after every episode of our show. That's my absolute guarantee to everybody listening to the show. And I also, you know, want to address that we are a comedy show as well as a show about art. You know, I like to consider myself not a comedian, but a man who just likes to tell jokes. Clinton's a funny guy. Leslie's a funny person. So it's like we all just try to come here, have a good time about art, especially in the times that we are living in right now. There has to be a certain set of levity and laughter at the end of the day, because that's all we got is each other at the end of the day. And that's all we have is art. And art is heavy. Art is serious in itself. So we understand that you're coming with your baby. I am an artist. I create art. Everybody's got a baby that they're coming with to promote, to hope that people listen to and watch and share in and experience and laugh and cry. And we want that. And that's why we put the show out there, because we want more people to come to y'all's shows. But do not ever, for a second, have the inclination to fix your mouth to say that Homegrown does not take art seriously. We care about art. I don't get paid for this. Clinton don't get paid for this. We get up on our days off to talk to artists about how they feel in Charlottesville. We come to promote this stuff, not because we get something out of it.
And Stanton, and sometimes Richmond.
Central Virginia. Everybody that we can get to. This is for y'all. And for anybody who feels like that we don't take this, that we came with, you know, with a certain looseness that didn't hold your concerns or sensitivities, I apologize. But at the same time, we got to get over ourselves and understand that this is all stuff that we share, and it's going to get put out in the ether, and people are going to accept it one way or another. So with that being said, I'm going to pass it over to our guest, Abel, and I hope I pronounce this right, Okugawa, right? Yes, I got a name right. And also, I want to say, if I mispronounce something, correct me. I'm human. I get stuff wrong. These glasses are a 2-year prescription, so I'm sure I read stuff incorrectly all the time. But yeah, call me out. I appreciate that, Charlottesville. Abel Okugawa Wright is the assistant director of Know Your Neighbor, showing at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center as part of the 2018 Virginia Film Festival on November 4th. Abel, I got a chance to watch the film that you're putting up. Thank you for giving us a secret password.
Can I just jump in and say,
absolutely.
You introduced it to us as a rough cut. I mean, mm-hmm. if that's the rough cut, I shudder to think how smooth and gorgeous and beautiful the final cut's going to be, because that seemed pretty together.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it, I think, to make it smooth enough for me and the director, Aaron Farrington, to watch and be satisfied ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's everything is in place. And
but let's get people up to speed. Tell people about what is Know Your Neighbor.
Know Your Neighbor is a film that is about people in Charlottesville, and this it focuses on refugees and immigrants, and we hear from 9 different people their stories about how and why they came here, and what that experience is like for them.
Now, I am a big fan of documentaries, and I like watching them, and I like talking about them and thinking about them. So this is and who knows if this is a specious thing to do, but I tend to break documentaries into 2 formats. There mm-hmm. are these there's the there are narrated documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are non-narrated documents.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no narration. There's no graphs or, any crazy graphics or any... and it doesn't feel like that a narrative is being pushed. It just feels like stories.
Yeah, well, it's an organic
people.
Narrative. Yeah, it's real stories.
And it doesn't feel like it's like, this is what we want you to get out of this documentary. This is how the government's screwing you anything like that.
No,
it's
no
just
agenda.
Stories of people mm-hmm. coming from one place to another, and there are different aspects about that. So talk about that.
And
talk about the conscious choice that you and Aaron made mm-hmm. in the editing, in the process of that.
Right. Well, we're artists. We're artists and foremost. So... like you were saying earlier about respecting people's art and their babies, what they hold sacred for themselves, And so in the process of this film, we wanted to kind of create a platform and extract that essence from those people without sort of adding in our own agenda, which we don't really have. an agenda. So we were very curious.
Kudos to that.
Yeah,
as and usually so, people do in documentaries.
Yeah, right. So we you know, the agenda was to listen to people's stories and to talk to many different people. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting because through the filming process, it started out for me as, you know, I wanted to help Aaron with this project. He does wet plate photography. So we were doing portraits of people from Charlottesville. And then we started to document that process of taking a portrait. Because with wet plate photography, you can see the development process, mm-hmm. you know, right there on the spot. So it's very interesting. So as we started to talk to people, we started to hear these stories that really were compelling to us, and we just, you know, kind of went organically into exploring that story and kind of relating to, you know, we both have been here in Charlottesville for a long time, so we have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what started to direct the film. And then once we did that a dozen times with a dozen different people, we started to realize that there were similarities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we started to concentrate on. And it was a learning process for me. I didn't understand, you know, what the real process of being a refugee is. I didn't know that there was mm-hmm. three, you know, this is the third country. There's a...
And sidebar, but correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Charlottesville, like, one of the lesser known, like, refugee cities?
Yeah, we're called a sanctuary city a welcoming city.
Yes,
so
thank you.
There is...
Refugee city sentence, so like, yeah.
But you know, I don't think any of the people that we knew or that we talked to knew of Charlottesville.
Right.
You know, I don't think people...
And that's the usual testimonial from the documentary. It's like, I didn't even know there was a place like this in America.
Even, or what America is. And that's the most interesting...
Or what America is.
Yeah, so what, the idea of what is America from... outside, you know, people are getting some really interesting influences and stories on what is America and why they would, you know, why they would want to come here.
Yeah, because I thought that it was most interesting to me hearing the testimony of non-Americans of their idea of America, that we don't have trees, that everything is buildings, that everybody's well off and successful, and this quote-unquote American dream has been widespread, disseminated throughout, you know, the global public, and they believe this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They believe this hogwash.
It's
so it's like, what do you say about that? And as an American, I felt like we let down the other side of the world.
Misrepresented a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's hard to say, you know, people are hearing, you know, the American story from, so, you know, like the game of telephone.
Yeah.
And, you know, me being American, I want people to understand, you know, maybe more of a realistic view of America. So I felt a little disenfranchised hearing those stories myself.
Mm.
You know, like, how is that information going there? And why, you know, how are we communicating as a culture to the rest of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's play a just the first moments of the movie.
Sure.
And then do a drop and come back.
Sounds good.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the first few moments of Know Your Neighbor here on Homegrown.
In 2011, I was about to graduate from university. I was studying English literature, both bachelor and master. We come from Arab minority in Iran. Our region is suffering from discrimination in terms of job, lack of political representation in the Iranian government, and ethnic displacement that is carried out by bringing those non-local people to our region in order to change the demographic balance in favor of other ethnicity. So we try to raise awareness about all these issues, about our language that is suppressed. When I was about to graduate from university, my teachers were arrested, two of them. And unfortunately, sadly, they were condemned to death just because they had a cultural activism in terms of promoting our identity, our language. After that, I started to have contact with Amnesty International, with Human Rights Watch, in order to advocate the case to stop them from executing this innocent teacher. Didn't work, and the regime executed my teacher. It was really tragic when you see your teacher are executed because they were opponent to the government policy. So I have decided to get out of the country. It wasn't easy, but I have choose this way to be a kind of an ambassador for my people who are voiceless. My name is Rahim Hamid. I'm from Iran.
We're going to do a drop.
That was a few seconds of Know Your Neighbor. We're going to do a drop. We're going to talk more about the movie, where you can see it. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Howdy, y'all. This is Zap McConnell from Chicken Bank Collective, and I am with Homegrown.
18 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're watching Homegrown, or you're listening to Homegrown.
Homegrown.
Whichever you want. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton. Abel Okugawa Wright is in the house talking about Know Your Neighbor, showing at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center as part of the 2018 Virginia Film Festival on November 4th. So
I gotta ask a simple. I gotta ask a simplistic question, but you know, for the novice, that's the question I got. So it's a
novice.
It feels like it's like a montage film because you've got these interviews, and during the interviews, you've cut in all of these images, and sometimes it's images of like I love you were talking to the guy from the Congo, and he's a tailor, and you cut in images of him making a shirt.
He actually works as a tailor here now.
That's and when you're talking to the woman from Syria, you get these images of Syria when she's mm-hmm.
That's
Syria before,
story too, yeah.
Right before, and also after the war. So how did you? And it's there are these nice slow cuts, and it's the rhythm. How did you? It seems like that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about that? Because it seems like that would have been a huge task to decide which images and when.
I mean,
and
it's
the
a decision,
feeling.
You know, it's like that narration thing. Are we going to tell the story of these people and then allow them to speak when we feel, you know, that it backs up our agenda? No, that's not what we are doing. And so back to art. Me and Aaron, we make video art for touring live musicians. So, you know, like here in Charlottesville, we do Dave Matthews Band.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of abstract video art that we create. And so we wanted to use some of this emotionally in the video to kind of, you know, give you a rest from watching the people talk, but also give you this sort of an emotional, like, digestion period. And then we, you know, we sourced also some aerial footage from a photographer here in Charlottesville of the city itself. There's the Syrian footage comes from a project.
Where did you get that?
Yeah, from Syria. A friend of mine who contacted me years ago when Syria first, you know, came. He was one of the first refugees 7 years ago in this period. And he was doing he moved to Berlin. So we contacted each other over the internet, and he was creating this film about Syria and Damascus, the city that he lived in. And so I did some music for him for that film. So then years later, we used some of his images of Syria, which is a beautiful, beautiful, ancient city. And it's it's amazing. I mean, they people have amazing lives there, you know, very similar to our lives here, which I had no idea before this. So, you know, we included that. So that footage is actually from another refugee from Syria. So we really tried to stay true to that. We did buy a couple stock things that, you know, to show the sort of refugee camp or this and that.
So we've talked about how the film is constructed and how it's meant to not push a narrative. What is the message that you want viewers to receive after watching this film? What is it that you want people to take away from the film after they're done, like, ingesting it, understanding it?
Yeah, because I got to say, like, you say you don't, you said that you don't have an agenda, but you didn't name the film Refugee Story. You didn't, you named it
Know Your
Neighbor.
No, it's about the agenda, maybe the messages in the title, you know, it's Know Your Neighbor. You know, do you know your neighbor, really? And I think that that's very important today. It's important for us not to look out our windows and think that, you know, just to have an imagination, a negative imagination about people around us. You know, it's amazing when you get to talking to people how relatable we all are.
Would you say that right now is the most important time where we need to be knowing our neighbor?
For me, it is in my life.
Deconstructing those preconceived notions and those inherent biases about people.
I'm in my 30s. So, you know, it takes an effort for me now to mingle and make friends. You know, I have my life and I don't really get out, you know, I'm not running around in like a kid anymore. So I don't have that interaction. It started to feel at a certain point, like, really, why was I doing this film? And, you know, what was it, just, you know, us doing this for our own? And then, but the more I talk to people, they don't get, the average person doesn't get this experience to hear these stories. So, you know, to me, that's the gift, is to share that simply.
And can I just say, I just feel like I just got to say, just put this out here. One of the things that watching this was such a moving experience for me, for a number of reasons. And one of the things that really hit me about it was just how large in scope and in thought this movie was, especially for right now, because for these people who escaped these horrendous, horrendous places and just came not knowing what they were finding, but just needing to go someplace that they hoped would be safer.
Safe, yeah.
Like, that is, that is how you make Americans. Like, that is how you make Americans. I was born in this country. My parents were born in this country. My people have been in my particular family. We've been in this country for generations and generations and generations. But I say that this is how you make Americans. People come here, they settle here, they become part of here, and we become part of them. And we need to remember that and celebrate that.
Yeah. So, and, you know, speaking on behalf of Aaron and myself, you know, we've learned that immigrants are ambitious people. Refugees are resilient people.
Oh my gosh. I was talking to you before the show, like, all during these interviews, I'm sitting here thinking, could I do that? I don't know if I, like, could I do that?
You have the ambition.
Could I live through that? I don't know. Like,
maybe if a gun's at your head, yeah.
Like, the guy in Iraq who goes up and he's, you know, applying for a visa, they're like
they
no.
Shot him on sight.
Yeah. They're like no, and he gets up, he walks in, he looks over, and there's
That's
the green
so
zone where the military is, and he just, like, why not? He walks over and he says, do you need somebody to be
special person?
Do you need somebody to be a translator? He's just like,
yeah, when I heard that too, I was like, bro, yo, you must need a job, because I ain't the one. I was like, I saw a gun, I walked right back home. But you're absolutely right, Clinton. I mean, it's a testament to the tenor and I can't think of a better word, but resiliency of these people. And that in itself is worth celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
Lady from Sierra, she was pregnant in, like, mm-hmm. when during. She...
Freaking ridiculous.
During her travel.
Yeah, she had one of her children in...
In her second country.
Yeah, in her second country.
In the transitional country. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Is there anything...
Actually, a lot of these people, because the process takes so long, they ended up having more family members, which makes it more difficult. Because then you have to add them in for work. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Is there anything else that you've learned? Not only from the stories, but as a filmmaker, as an artist, anything that you've taken away from this particular experience, besides the testimonies of many heartbreaking stories about getting to this country? And
I think it's it comes from inspiration, and I think that's something to be respected. And through the process, that's something that's important to keep intact and always to come back to, you know, and not to change that, you know, as things start to build and the snowball starts to grow, you get ideas of like, well, maybe this is that, or, oh, well, you know, like events start like August 11th here. Oh, is this a film for that now? You know, it's something that was, you know, a seed that was born before that you know, you really have to kind of stay true to that and keep that essence sacred and intact.
Yeah. And it does. And it seems like you didn't. And Clinton's giving me the wrap up note, but it seems like you didn't capitalize on a moment. It seems like you just wanted to tell stories.
Yeah, there's not really any moments to capitalize on.
Yeah,
this isn't a capitalizing
because I can't tell you how many Charlottesville documentaries we saw about A12 after A12, and it was like, well, nobody was saying nothing about Charlottesville before that. Right. So it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, you've lived here for long enough to know.
But thank you for talking about Charlottesville. Know Your Neighbor, showing at the Jeff School, African American Heritage Center, part of Virginia Film Festival. Yo, Charlottesvillians, you've seen these people on your block at the Whole Foods, like, kicking it. Like
one of them is a former guest of Homegrown.
These are your people, and you'll recognize them. So please check it out. You're gonna be like, oh, that guy. It's gonna blow your mind. These are your neighbors, and their story should be noticed and celebrated and not taken for granted. Abel Okugawa Wright, thank you so much for coming onto the show. Hopefully it's not your last time.
Yeah.
Bring Aaron next time.
I will. He's out of town. He's with his daughter.
Excuses. Excuses. See, he doesn't take his art seriously. That's the problem.
He takes it too serious.
Butthole. No, thank you so much for sharing this piece of art with us, and we hope to see you soon again. Booyah. Shenkari says hey, by the way.
Oh, what's up, Shenkari?
Good to see you on here, bro, is his...
My new sister-in-law.
There you go. There you go. Family love. All right. Artistic events. That's what we usually do.
Let's do artistic events.
All right. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through January 27th. Reflections, Native Art Across Generations, an exhibition of the work, thank you so much, of several contemporary Native American artists at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. And also currently running through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center runs its summer-fall season. Just four plays.
Four plays.
Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma. George Etheridge's The Man of Mood, or So Far Bring Flutter, and Richard Fad. And that's right, Cat. By Shakespeare. Last chance, The Lion and Winner at Four County Players. Sold out, so you're screwed. I tried to see it, but I gotta work today. I would have stood in the back. I would have peeked in the Four County basement.
You
see that window? I would have been right there.
You
need to tape it and bootleg it so I can watch it. It sucks how Clinton. I just want a sidebar, but it sucks how Clinton does shows the same time I do shows, and then we can't see each other's shows. It sucks. That's what being an artist is. Also, last chance art exhibits by local artists here in the area. Check them out. Jane Scafty presents her drawings about the effects of climate change at New Dominion Bookshop. Michael Doyle presents Michael Doyle drawings from jail at New City Arts Welcome Gallery. June Calmer and Aiden Mills presents Embodying a New Narrative, a visual discussion. Works by Aaron Farrington heard of that guy, Will Kerner and Rochelle Summer at the McGuffey Art Center, and joint exhibit by the FUCC, the Feminist Union of Civil Creatives, awesome acronym, at City Space. Currently running, Ragtime has been extended through November 3rd. Sold out, though. I don't know why we're announcing this stuff if it's sold out.
Because you can still. Because here's the thing: if something's sold out, you can still go in.
There's a wait list if you really want it. Like it rains. Rich people cancel because it rains. They always do that. Also, currently running through November 3rd in the forest. She Grew Fangs at Guerrilla Theater Productions tonight. Boom Boom Burlesque and Entertainment presents Hallow Queen, a brutal burlesque and variety show at the Ix Art Park. That sounds dope. October 30th, comedians Chris Allen and Winston Hodges host Laugh Your Ass Off, host Battle Horror Cinema at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Are y'all going to fight?
Keep it going.
No, we're not.
Keep it
going.
November 1st, representatives and authors from Mascot Books come to the Central Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library for How to Get Published. November 1st, the UVA MFA Reading Series continues their students' Bobby Elliott and Anna Beecher reading their work at New Dominion Bookshop. November 1st through the 4th, the 2018 Virginia Film Festival. Check out
virginiafilmfestival.org
for a list of films, their locations, and their showtimes. It's going down all around VA, so just go on the website, check it out. November 2nd through 24th, check out these exhibits by local artists. Tim Michaels, Ruminant, and Laura Call Gastinger's Drawing from Nature at Chroma Projects Art Laboratory. And Keep It Like a Secret, Enhanced Photography by Kelsey Hoyt. Chelsea Hoyt. Why did I say Kelsey?
I don't know.
See, this is, it's not my problem. There's something wrong with my brain. I see Kelsey. Chelsea Hoyt at Top Knot Studio. November 2nd, young adults performing poetry, short stories, and music at Friday Night Writes at New Dominion Bookshop. The Crozet branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library presents a NaNoWriMo kickoff.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo kickoff party to start you on your November novel writing challenge.
That's the 3rd.
November 3rd, 10 free art workshops surrounded by music, wine, beer, and food trucks. That's so Charlottesville. At the annual Community Art Festival Art Show 2018 at the Ix Art Park. November 3rd, in The Magic is Back, Dr. Amalia introduces you to the art of belly dancing at Bashir's Taverna on the downtown mall. And I got it. Oh, no. You like it? And free music options. Fine. Free music options this week.
Currently running in until October 30th, Victory Hall Opera presents The Forgotten, Hansel and Gretel and the Medium at Lighthouse Studios Vinegar Hill Theater. Today, Jim Wave at Chisholm Vineyards at Adventure Farm. Also, Sue Harlow at Albemarle Cider Works at 2:30 p.m. Also today, Charlottesville Symphony presents Meet Your Symphony Musicians, an informal concert with Charlottesville Symphony principal musicians at the Lodge at Old Trail at 3 p.m. Tonight, Alexandra Coccola, Celia Strasberg, and Will Ham appear at the Front Porch Roots Music School Youth Songwriter Showcase at 5:30 p.m. October 31st, Westminster Presbyterian Church presents their 10th annual Children's Halloween Concert as part of their Organ Concert Series. That means a concert will feature a short program of spooky organ music, followed by a tour of, I bet you that's going to be played. That's
Toccata and Fugue?
Yeah.
No, they'll never play that during
Gotta be.
See, I thought you meant actual organs. That would have been way creepier.
They're playing some livers, some kidneys. Followed by a tour of their pipe organ. October 31st, LG and Friends of the Whiskey Jar, Coda and the All-Stars, and Bobble Headless at Dirty Nelly's. October 31st, Day of the Dead All-Stars at Rapture. On November 1st, the UVA New Music Ensemble presents its fall concert at O'Cabell Hall. Hear the wacky new music do it. November 1st, Face Made for Radio at the Whiskey Jar. On the 2nd, young musicians Beamer Megan, Callan McCool, Will and Henry Yeagle, and Cleo Hill play a benefit concert for the Teen Suicide Prevention Group, We're Worth It, at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books. Also on the 2nd, my man Eli Cook, Dirty Nellies, Faster Than Walking at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's, and DJ Shea Butter and DJ Thomas Dean toast the Get Down at the Ix Art Park. On November 3rd, UVA Flute Ensemble plays their fall recital at the UVA Rotunda Dome Room. That's gonna be cool. Number 3 still on November 3, Cat Summers at the Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room, The Blenders, and New Half Brass Brass Boys at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books, rock covers and originals by six foot ceiling at Dirty Nelly's, and rock, reggae, and the Grateful Dead by the Cows at the Whiskey Jar. And from November 3rd to November 4th, John Dearth and Friends at Fellini's. Every Sunday, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charles with Friends of Old Time Music during their weekly jam, open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red and the Romantic at the Whiskey Jar. The ATM Unit at Rapture. The Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas. The Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. And the Traditional Irish Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, it's the Open Mic Night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery.
Boom!
The Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bang!
Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9.
Bow!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero.
Blaka!
Bachata Fusion at the XR Park.
Blah!
Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby at the Whiskey Jar.
Cha-da-boom.
502 Fossils at the Shabeen Pub and Bry.
Nuclear bomb, whatever.
And like. Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
That's
every
Wacky
Thursday.
Wednesday.
It's our friends Lua at the Bebedero, and of course every Thursday,
John Dearth
with the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's. Because every once in a while, you just gotta
come down to Dearth.
And those are just some of the artistic events in our wonderful artistic town.
Some, but not limited to all. It's going down in Seaville and all around. We're going to do a drop. We're going to be right back with Chris Allen and Winston Hodges. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is Eli Cook, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
38
minutes past the hour if you're just tuning in. You're listening to Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton.
What?
We got two of the funniest guys in Charlottesville.
Oh, boy.
Here in the spot. No pressure.
What's up, everybody?
Chris Allen, Winston Hodges. I'm sure y'all know about these dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Got him back. They just be doing the scene. We got him back. Everybody was like, where's Chris and Winston? We need him back.
We're here, people. You can calm down, okay?
Calm down.
Can I start off with a compliment first?
Yes, you
can. Can I start off? I went and saw Ragtime last night. Can I talk about this?
You can talk.
You can talk about that.
If you haven't seen David Von Strom perform in Ragtime, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I'm not paying him to say this.
He is absolutely brilliant in the show.
Stop it.
I mean, I do comedy, but when you watch people act, you go, what I do is BS.
Oh, no.
Honestly.
No, fam.
I respect acting. And you had a couple small movements. I was like, oh, that made it look so real. Can we get technical real quick?
Go ahead.
There was one scene in there where the white guy comes to look for the main character,
mm-hmm.
and one of the guys was going to say something. You kind of hold him back.
Mm-hmm.
And this the way you did it, I was like, that looks so real. You're so invested into every scene, your facial expressions. I was just like, I don't think I could ever maintain that level of concentration. And all the dancing, you sweating, and you are getting it. I was just like, this dude is brilliant in this.
Stop it.
Jim killed. I mean, I
yeah,
just.
Oh, Jim's amazing. Jim.
It was.
Honey-soaked voice.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire cast, they put their foot in it. Ike Anderson put his foot in it. So I just wanted to bring my 100% because everybody was bringing their 100%.
You killed it. It was fantastic. What? My wife and I don't get out. I'm sorry. I have to give credit.
No, I appreciate you.
I don't get out that much to see live performances. And last night was a huge night for me and my wife. We talked about it on the way home, and I think that's exactly what you want.
That's what
artists are supposed to do. It's supposed to provoke thought. And we talked about it, and we made great love last night. Well, so thank you, Live Art.
I'm glad
bro.
I can seal the deal for you, brother.
Art,
you know,
Charlottesville art bringing people together.
Yes, literally.
Miles, I got you a brother and sister, so hold on, man.
But enough about me. Sorry, I just had to.
No, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
I'll kick it to Winston. Go ahead,
Winston. I am plum. Oh, yeah. Chris and Winston. host of the Laugh Yo Ass Off Host Battle. Y'all are doing the Halloween joint. I just had it right here. Battle Horror Cinema, Southern Cafe and Music Hall, October 30th. And you're doing this new joint, Host Battle Election Autopsy, going down November 7th. I'm going to get to that later, but let's talk about the Halloween joint first.
Remind people what the Host Battle is.
Let's talk about the Host Battle in general. Like, to the layman who's never seen a host battle of Chris and Winston.
When you come to like a regular host battle show, the way it usually works is Chris and I just shooting the breeze up top for like 15 minutes, then we start bringing some new comics up that got some newer material, and Chris and I still have microphones on while they're doing that, so we're helping punch up their jokes. If the jokes aren't good, we're like busting their balls about it. It's a pretty fun show. But with this one, we're now branding a bunch of different stuff with Host Battle. So this next one is going to be more along the lines of something like Mystery Science Theater, where it's going to be Chris and I, and we've got three other comics that are going to be sitting and watching and making fun of. I got a bunch of Halloween PSAs, Halloween safety videos, Halloween commercials, and bad like death scenes and stuff that we're going to string back to back to back, and we're just going to make fun of it. We want people to wear costumes. We're going to have some candy come out. It's going to be a super, super good and fun time.
Costume.
Yeah, wear a costume, because we're also going to probably roast your costume. Make fun of it. We're going to be dressed up.
Get crazy.
Got a Pikachu onesie I'm going to wear.
Dope.
Chris is going in white face. It's going to be real exciting.
No
white face for me.
No.
Winston Hodges is a professional ball buster, so I'm going to let y'all know that right now. But, so y'all have been doing this for a while, and it's kind of like morphed and taken shape into what it is right now. Like, talk about that process. Like, talk about y'all, like, meeting for the first time and, like, just kind of, like, this evolution of what the host battle is from then to now. Because I remember, seeing y'all 2 years ago, and it was something completely different. Like,
yeah, I met Winston, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, like 3 years
ago. 3 years ago at the Richmond Funny Bone. I thought he was funny, a young dude, and we just kind of, hit it off. And our relationship has grown. I think we both make each other better comics. I have probably three times as much experience as him, so I never knew how much I knew about comedy, even though I will say I know nothing, but compared to them, I knew a lot more, and the fact that I could kind of pass that along helped our relationship grow, and hanging out with a lot younger people helps me stay young in comedy, to stay in tune to what's going on socially and all that kind of stuff, and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. It makes you a better comic. But we started doing the show here in town, and the space was pretty big. And we would try to do a traditional stand-up show, and it was brutal. Mm. And then one night, Winston was you were there. So Winston was like, hey, we should try doing this thing where we stay on stage, and it's like a live act, like a live writing session. And it kind of became Host Battle. It's kind of a spin-off Roast Battle,
right,
that brand. And we did it, and it went well, and... Not that we get sick of traditional stand-up, but we go, you know what? We need to do something different. Let's try to have a variety of different shows. And that's when we came up with the Mystery Science, 3000? I haven't watched the show. Mm-hmm. Mystery Science 3000. Mm-hmm. This thing we got coming up is kind of like an ode to the Colin Quinn show, Tough Crowd, the election thing.
Got you.
So, yeah, we want to make it fun. We don't want people to come out and just sit and watch just like regular stand-up. We want to mix it up and just do different things and just try to have a variety of different types of shows. So just to make it fun for everybody else, to make it fun for comics and explore different writing techniques and all that kind of stuff.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but you are an actual, like, full-time comedian. Like, you don't have a day job. Like, this is what you do.
You put me on the spot? No, I actually, not yet. In 37 days, I've retired from the Air Force, so I've been doing that for 20 years, but okay. I want to be seen as a legit comic, and there's no disrespect to my career, but once people find out you have a different job, they don't respect you much as a comic. I don't know if it's like that for actors or whatever.
Pay for that drink?
Right. Get out of here. Exactly. So, yeah, that's the plan, though. As of December 3rd, I will be a full-time comic. I've been doing comedy for...
So we do the thing on Homegrown where full-time artists who get paid get a round of applause. So artists getting paid applause.
Oh, yeah. Let's give them a round of applause. It's tough.
Live your dream, baby.
I'm trying to.
Artists get paid. Hashtag artists get paid.
Well, I know you're rich now. You're on Broadway, right? Yeah. Is that off-Broadway?
Making all that live arts, though, right?
Is that considered off-Broadway? What is it?
It's way off-Broadway.
I have no idea.
It's way off-Broadway. I think
Charlottesville is officially way the hell away.
Way up Broadway.
That's on my resume actually. So why don't we just do a drop now?
All right.
So let's just do a drop now. We're gonna pay a bill or two, and then we'll be right back with Chris Allen and Winston Hodges. This is Homegrown. Drop.
Hi, this is Jason Burke of the Six Pack Songwriter Series. You're listening to 94.7 FM, Homegrown.
All right, 47 minutes past the hour if you're just tuning in. Mr. Hell of a Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David, that's Clinton. Chris Allen and Winston Hodges are in the house talking about their various host battles. One being Battle Horror Cinema, Southern Cafe, October 30th. The next one being Host Battle Election Autopsy, November 7th. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore.
No, it's right.
Where's it? Where'd you put it? See, he scrambled up the script.
I didn't scramble it. Put it in order.
Oh, cool. Oh, yes. Stay tuned for a previously recorded episode of the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Sean McCord, with guests, with director Jody Kielbasa and programmer Wesley Harris to talk about the 2018 Film Festival. Breaking news. Hot off the presses. But no, I got a kind of a serious question to ask to... two amazing comedians.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
I'm at the amazing.
So I did comedy for a while. I did a three-person stand-up small tour with two friends of mine, Eric Beringer and John Barnes, called Go Get My Mom. It went from April 2016 to December 2016, right around the time, and it in the middle of the election and at the aftermath of the results. And after that time, to this day, I have not written one single joke. I cannot find anything funny to write about in the times that we live in at all. Up to now with, the bombings and Pittsburgh and, like, just a lot of, like, tragic events that are going around and a political climate that is toxic at its very least. So I want to ask two people who do comedy consistently in this contentious, tumultuous time that we're in a time where people are hypersensitive and hypervigilant about their race and about their privileges and about their marginalizations. Do you see that comedy is a service that y'all have to do in these times? Do you see it or bad comedy possibly normalizing a horrible political climate and a horrible president? Like, talk about what you feel that comedy does for you in the moments and times that we're in.
I mean, I think it's the climate we're in, it's made comedy tougher because everyone is like more sensitive to a degree, so your jokes have to be better if you're talking about in these times it's like I'm a cishet straight white guy, so it's not a lot that people think I'm able to talk about, so you have
it's
to make
good
sure
time for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people are like, it's, you know, if you listen to the present, it's rough for us right now. you know that, but it's tough to talk about stuff, but you just have to be a better joke writer and you have to work harder and make people know that, like, you're not on the wrong side of history on this one, and you're just mm-hmm. like still, but everybody should still get made fun of. I don't want to normalize the awful times, but I do want to normalize the fact that, like, I do think everybody's pretty much the same, and if everybody's the same, let's all have fun, bust each other's balls, have a good time, and at the end of the day, you walk out and you're not even thinking about the differences, you're just thinking about all that stuff. So that's pretty much to me that, and there's just a ton of Trump jokes out there. That's like 50% of open mics and stuff. And what about you? What about you, Chris Allen?
I try to stay away from it, but I do write about that kind of stuff. I feel like if I can't really make it funny, then I'll leave it alone. Maybe I'm just not there as a comic yet to try to make these tragic things funny, if you can, or to try to see the other side of it. Mm. So I just find myself doing more stuff about my family, but I do think about that type of thing. I think with comics, podcasting has helped a lot too, to where you can kind of get that out mm-hmm. in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, take the whole Megyn Kelly thing. You know,
Which Megyn Kelly thing? I mean, there's been multiple.
The blackface thing.
Oh.
You know, now, I feel like if we're going to get better as a country, we really have to be able to let people have conversations. I think she went about it the wrong way by saying, I don't see anything wrong with it. Ask why it's wrong, and she might still have a job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ask why it's wrong instead of saying, I don't think it's a big deal. It's like, well, maybe you should have all the backstory first before you go, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it is. Comedy can be tough now, but like Winston says, it makes you dig deeper.
Yeah.
It makes you choose your words a lot carefully, a lot more careful. And the bad thing is, too, you can have that bad comedy where it's just like someone, they go, oh, it's too PC. I just want to use all these bad words.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also, on the other side, like I was recently in Brooklyn, New York, where it's just the comedy is too woke, and it's just like there's really no jokes at all. You know what I mean? It's just like, we got to find the middle ground.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, I care about comedy, but at the same time, I'd never want to hurt anyone's feelings at all. No comic ever goes on stage with the idea of hurting people, you know. But I think the most brilliant comics, they can take all the stuff that's going, like a Chappelle, they can take all the stuff that's going on and make people think and laugh, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
But I think part of that process is being taken away, where you might have an idea for a joke about a certain group of people or whatever, and it's not funny yet, and people go, oh, we want this person fired, or this person should never perform comedy ever again. So
yeah, and go ahead.
But that's like what makes the host battle show so great, because it's like the stuff that most comics are like afraid to actually try and talk about, it is the perfect setup for that to come and try it out, because they'll come out and work out something where they're like afraid, like at a normal open mic they're going to say something too offensive, and at the host battle show there really is nothing that's like off limits. We do a pretty good job of talking and being inclusive and getting the audience involved, and you know, we've said some things at the host battle show that, you know, I would never say at a normal open mic, but out of that you find some stuff that's like super funny and can like bring people together. Like the last host battle show we did was on 9/11, so it was like we're talking about everything. So
yeah,
I mean, that's really dope that y'all think about it as like a challenge, and
it is,
like, you know, overcoming adversity. Like, it is, like, if you plan to do that as your job, like, that's just a major, like, barricade that you're just going to have to, like, put yourself over. Like,
and to be honest, man, comedy has always kind of been like this anyway. Like, you go to the Midwest, you have to be really careful with any religious material. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You go to the East, you go to the coast, you can do those kind of jokes. In the Midwest, you got Midwest guys who can get pretty lazy, and they can do a lot of homophobic, a lot of transphobic jokes that people will laugh at, you know. But if you try that stuff on the coast, it's not going to work at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been this way, and it really just makes you a better comic. You know, it can be frustrating, but it makes you dig deeper. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can I get everyone on board with this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the fun part. It's like, how can I say this but have everyone listen to me and then get a laugh out of it?
Right.
And if you want to take your comedy to another level, have people think about my jokes.
Right.
After they leave, go, man, that was funny, but he made me think about my position as a man, a white woman, a trans person, a straight, you know what I mean? That's what the most brilliant comics can do. They can make you laugh and make you think at the same time. I love that. That's what the best comics do.
Right on.
So for this election, for the election coverage thing.
Oh, okay.
Is that, what is it called? The election autopsy.
Yeah.
Is that... Do you feel like you guys are taking a step out of your wheelhouse, out of your comfort zone? Because that seems like it's going to be explicitly political.
It is, and I think this is probably one of the better formats to do, because you have a lot of comics who really aren't that great at regular jokes. They want to get up there and scream about Trump, or they want to get up there and scream about whatever liberal agenda that they hate, and it's like there's no jokes in there. But here's a format for a show where the people coming in know this is going to be political, but at the same time we wanted to also be funny. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird way, kind of a weird way to have these arguments and discussions with your comic friends on stage, and no one really get upset. Like if you do this on Facebook, people read things in a tone that they want to hear, and they get upset about it. So this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
Hopefully no one gets upset, but...
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
So please come out.
But that's your job, to shake things up, to make people upset, because it gets you to feel. That's what art is about. So I want to thank our guests, Chris Allen, Winston Hodges.
Thank you so much. Go see Ragtime if you can.
Yeah, go see the host battle. It's going to be amazing. Go see Know Your Neighbor at the Jeff School here at the center. Abel Okugawa, right? Chris Allen, Winston Hodges, thank you so much for our guests on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with Sean McCord, talking with director Jody Kolbasa and programmer Wesley Harris, emphasis on the wrong syllable, on the 2018 Virginia Film Festival. But we're going to head out. That's our time. We love you all. I love you, Clinton.
Love you, David.
See you next week.
Peace.
For educated people with degree to find job with the government or with the private sector. I still remember the day I applied for to work with the US military. I walked out of the Iraqi Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I was there to check in the application I put a couple months ago, and they said I wasn't accepted, or my application was rejected due to the, how can I say this, discrimination, because Sunni and Shia. After I walk out the gate of that ministry building, I look to my right side. There was the green zone where all the U.S. military was stationed. I talk loudly to myself, why I don't give it a try? I walk toward them, and the guy in the tower yell at me, stop, what you here to do, all the things. And I, you know, spoke to him in his own language. I'm here to work. I'm looking for a job, blah, 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 blah. Later on, like 5 minutes or 10 minutes later, I saw a representative for U.S. military, and we both spoke English as part of testing me. Then they told me to come back 1 week later for a test and, you know, to get hired. I talked with my father and told him about the decision I already made to work for U.S. military. I know it was very dangerous, and I was taking a risk jeopardizing my own life and my own family life.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.